And unprecedented curfews remain in major cities across the United States. Tens of thousands of people have been on the streets again overnight. And dissent within the U.S. government grows over the use of military force against the people protesting the death of George Floyd, the African-American who died after being pinned to the ground by a white police officer who held his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck for 9 minutes. The Defense Secretary, Mark Esper, said he does not back President Trump's plan to use the military. And overnight, in a rare public statement, Mr. Trump's former Defense Secretary, James Mattis, accused him of stoking division and abusing his authority. Former Presidents Obama, Bush and Carter have all criticized the Trump administration's response to the protests. In a virtual town hall meeting, Mr. Obama called on every mayor across the United States to review their use of force policies by the police.
So today I am urging every mayor in this country to review your use of force policies with members of your community and commit to report on planned reforms. So we need mayors, county executives, others who are in positions of power to say this is a priority. This is a specific response.
Well, Kevin O'Malley is a former U.S. ambassador to Ireland during President Obama's term in office. And Melanie McAllister is a professor of U.S. studies at George Washington University. What do the events of the past 10 days tell them about their country at this moment in time?
Well, it tells me that we are in a country in a crisis around race once again, and that this crisis has been exacerbated by all the things that are going on with COVID and with the pandemic globally, but that the real issue is policing and police violence that's been going on since the U.S. began at some level, but in the last 5 years since the founding of Black Lives Matter, people have been protesting and complaining about what's been going on, and so little has been done, and now we're seeing the results of the ongoing failure to address violence against Black people in this country.
Kevin O'Malley, what do the events of the past 10 days tell you?
They tell me primarily that we lack a compassionate leadership at the top of our country at the moment. We've had problems of race, just not as it relates to violence and policing, but education and availability of health care that have plagued us as a result of slavery. And that is a big issue in the United States, as all of your listeners who've been here have seen and now is on full display for the rest of the world. I think that I'm optimistic about what's going to come out of this. I think we'll be a better country for having addressed this, but it's difficult to do it right now, and especially since we don't have the kind of national leadership that I think would be helpful here in unifying rather than dividing our citizens.
Professor McAllister, have you been shocked by the scale of the protests, or do you believe it was inevitable?
Well, I think we're always surprised when the one thing that sort of is the tipping point happens, because there have been so many incidences of violence, particularly against Black men, but also against Black women and also Latino men and Native American and Arabs and others. And so it's surprising to me that when it happened, this particular case, and at the same time, it did seem like we've been seeing the anger and the frustration and the lack of action build up over and over in the past 5-10 years, as we've also not only seen the police violence, but literally seen more of it with social media and with cell phones, so that a lot of people who knew about the reality of police violence against African Americans in day-to-day life, because they were from those communities, now a lot of other Americans are becoming much more aware of what people are facing as part of the ordinary course of events. So I'm not surprised that something spilled over. You never know when it's going to happen.
And Kevin O'Malley, you mentioned there in your first answer about the education, the health, the economic discriminations against African Americans and other people of color since the days of slavery. And I mean, is it good enough in the year 2020 for us still to be talking about this, for this to be still so embedded in U.S. society?
Well, of course not. No, this is we are continually striving to build, as President Obama would say, a more perfect union. You know, we're not a perfect people. We have problems. But, for example, I mean, I grew up in the 60s, so these sorts of demonstrations are nothing new to me. But what's different as I watch the demonstrations across the United States in the last week, how many people of all colors are joining in these marches and are protesting, you know, wealthy white people, black, white officers taking a knee in support of the protesters. That is a good sign that we are, in fact, coming together. And of course, we're not where we ought to be, but we're making strides in that direction. President Obama pointed that out today in his in the little town hall that he had with the young African-American supporters, that we have made strides. We must continue to make strides.
And Barack Obama, obviously an African-American president in the White House for 8 years, did he really do enough to help change the system, that system which continues to lock African-Americans out of education, healthcare, the ability to start a business, the ability to buy a house?
Absolutely. The Affordable Care Act, for one, I mean, the first president of our country who was able to, with federal legislation, make health care available to many otherwise uninsured people in the United States, you know, that alone would mark him as a victor in this. But all of his use of the Department of Justice, and the revival of the Civil Rights Division of the department, what he was able to do simply by his example was able to lift up and demonstrate to African Americans that with hard work, there were opportunities in the United States to go to the very top level.
Professor McAllister, do you agree with that, or do you believe that President Obama, just like all other previous administrations, have as much responsibility for where we are today?
Well, I think that President Obama did many important things, both symbolically by being a black man in the White House and in terms of some of the policy decisions that his administration made. But I also think that he faced an incredible backlash, and I would argue that the backlash he faced was because he was a black president, and our current president played a role in that. The accusation that he wasn't a citizen was current President Trump was one of the leaders of the accusation that Obama was not a citizen. And the backlash against him really did also tie his hands, and also, in some sense, the problem is so much bigger than what one president can do. The issues of militarized policing, for example, have been going, the groundwork has been laid for a very long time with that. But it was under the Obama administration that police departments began buying military equipment and been getting donated military equipment. And that was a policy that was designed to, you know, help equip police departments, but which actually encouraged an ongoing militarization of police departments. So I think that President Obama suffered a lot from racism and was limited in what he could do because of that. I also think he could have done more.
So Professor McAllister,
that policy known as the 1033 policy, President Obama actually stopped during his administration, and President Trump reignited it again when he took over selling military equipment to local police officers and police departments, which has put an extra wall between police officers and the public that they serve, and it's made it more militaristic, which is really, as the former Secretary of Defense today stated, is a huge mistake.
So, Professor McAllister, listening to what you both have been saying, it's very hard to have any hope that when these protests end, much, if anything, will have changed.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Well, I also I agree with the ambassador that it is hopeful when people are marching together on the streets and trying to make change and speaking out against what has happened, and that we've seen real anger from a lot of different people across the United States at the kind of violence that is being enacted in Minneapolis and in other places against black men who are caught up in the on the wrong side of the police. But I think that whether this actually leads to real sustained change, I think is a real question. And it's a matter of people following up, because we thought after Trayvon Martin was killed or after Michael Brown was killed, we saw protest and we saw black and white people coming together to protest. And then a lot of things did not change. So it's really a matter of whether people are willing, once the news isn't there, the cameras aren't there, whether they're still willing to do the work of holding police departments accountable, holding themselves accountable around issues of race, dealing with some of those other issues that the ambassador was speaking about in terms of economic disparities, political disparities, the health disparities that were making such a difference right now in terms of COVID-19. And really talking about this as an issue of systemic racism that can't be fixed in a week or a year or even probably a decade.
Kevin O'Malley, why do you think things will change?
Well, I think you have to keep in mind that this is a country of 330 million people, so we don't change quickly. Change for us is always going to be slow. But and I know that your listeners pay a great deal of attention to the news in the United States, and you've seen the terrible divisiveness that we've had. But I hope that that your listeners will listen to the speech that Vice President Biden gave yesterday in Philadelphia, and you'll see there the America that you know and that you remember and that you know. The values that he espoused, the compassion, the empathy, the condemnation of the rioting and the looting, but the understanding of the underlying problems. And that's the America that Ireland knows and loves. And 5 months from today, we have a scheduled election, which gives me hope that we will be able to address these problems in a national way, in a unified way, in a compassionate way that we Americans can be proud of.
Final word from you on this, Professor McAllister.
I would like to believe that change is possible and that the work that people have done over decades to fight against racism and discrimination in the United States really has made a difference and will continue to do so. But I also think that this is a bigger issue than what's going to happen in the November election. We've had Democrats and Republicans in power, and racism has continued apace for the last many decades in the United States. It's gotten better in some ways. In other ways, we can see real ongoing and systemic inequalities that are quite disturbing in 2020. So I would hope that we can see people make a commitment to do more than just vote. They should do that, but also really take a hard look at what it takes to actually change systemic and structural racism.
Our thanks to Professor Melanie McAllister of George Washington University and to Kevin O'Malley, former U.S. Ambassador to Ireland. It's 8:27.